Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we are going to shift gears and dig a little deeper. In fact, we're going to do some mining because we're going to be talking about gold today. Now, this is not going to be the typical conversation that you may have heard or read about in papers. And it's also not going to be David's take on gold per se, where I have my own thoughts and opinions about gold and whether it makes sense to make that part of your portfolio or whether you should go all in, as some of the folks would suggest. You should put all your IRA money into a gold if you watch television. I'm sure you've seen the commercials I'm talking about. Instead of all that, we have Ki Trang Ho, who is a financial media consultant. She's founder of Ki Financial Media. The website is keyfinancialmedia.com. And let me tell you, Ki is all over the place. She has been well-regarded, well-received in a number of media outlets. She's a contributing writer over at Forbes. She covers investment strategies and trends in ETFs and mutual funds. And she has worked as a reporter at Investor Business Daily, IBD. And she did that for more than 8 years, covering stocks, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds. And we're very glad to have her talking with us. And she's no stranger to radio. She worked in public radio as a reporter and producer, and local TV news as a producer. So we're also very glad to have her come on and help us understand what's been happening. So welcome back to the program, Ki. It's good to have you.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's my pleasure. It's been a while, and you've done some new things since we talked last. So glad to have you back to update you on some of the things you're doing. I like your new website, keyfinancialmedia.com. And also, our listeners can go over and take a look at your great work at Forbes, forbes.com/sites/Trang Ho, and they can get good information there. Now, our subject, which I teed up sufficiently there before introducing you, is gold. And I really love your analysis and your more detailed breakdown of what's going on with gold. And so if you would, Ki, just kind of tee it up for us a little bit about where we've come from with gold, if you will. I mean, a lot of people know that gold can be a hedge. It's been around for a long, long time. You know, it's been used as a form of barter and other things, or even to back up paper currencies or fiat before we went to fiats. And so give us a little bit of your perspective where gold has been, and then we can get into some of the details about what's driving gold prices.
Yes, gold is a very, very emotional topic, as it turns out, because it's been my most popular story I've ever written on Forbes, and it's gotten about 117,000 hits and dozens of comments.
Wow.
More than any other topic I've written about. And everybody's been told that gold is an age-old currency, that it holds its value no matter what. But in the past 5 years, it just seems that the best thing you could do with going with gold is to go shopping in Westeros, or if you have kids, to go to Hogwarts.
Okay. Well, so the thing that is interesting to me about gold is, you know, it is this perennial promoted product of principal protection and safety and all that. But, you know, I look at the charts and I see a lot of losses.
Painful losses. Yes, gold has fallen 40% from its, about 40% from its peak in 2011, and it's trading at a five-year low now. And the gold miners have lost 70% in the past 5 years, and they're down 19% year to date.
Wow. Well, now, okay, so I get to have a little fun here, Ki, so bear with me. As you know, I'll be parroting and repeating some of what I hear from either the TV pitchman or, you know, what I read on the email blogs and all that, that their response, those that are selling gold, would say then to your very factual and logical presentation of that data, they would say, ah, Ki, that means it's a historic buying opportunity.
Well, that's two sides of the coin.
Yeah.
That's the one thing with low prices, is that you could always say, yes, it's a historic buying opportunity, but of course it could always go lower. And
right.
There's no way for you to know.
Exactly.
You could use some, you know, technical indicators to tell you when and where to when to buy. Like, for instance, if you like to use charts, you could say, okay, I'll buy when it rises above the 200-day moving average and get out when it falls below the 200-day moving average, so that you don't have any emotional connection to the trade and you're just following a systematic technical indicator. But gold just seems so emotional. People who love gold will just stay to their death and pound on the table that it always has value and our country is going to hell in a handbasket because of all the money printing.
Right.
But that's just not the case.
That's what's so interesting about it. And I think that that's probably part of what makes gold stand apart, is that it has become kind of that linchpin, lightning rod, whatever, you know, whatever proper personification or terminology we can use there, Key, is that it's kind of the thing that people look to, or it kind of encapsulates some of those different emotions, as you said earlier. But there are real specific factors that have driven gold to their current prices. And at the time you and I are doing this program, it's about $1,115 an ounce. So what are some of the things that are driving gold or has caused gold to fall in price?
The number one reason is the strength of the U.S. dollar. And the dollar has risen in the past year very tremendously because of the economic stimulus that's been unleashed in Europe as well as Japan. And then at the same time, you have commodity currencies such as Brazil and Australia and Canada falling because of low oil prices. And everyone thought that when the Fed started stimulating and printing, firing money off the printing presses, that the U.S. dollar was going to be devalued and that inflation was going to soar north of 10%. Hmm. But unfortunately, we aren't even getting 2% right now inflation. So there are just so many moving wheels, and that the people who say that, oh, it's because of the dollar, I think that they're just looking at it too simplistically, because if the market was just based on two variables, gold and the dollar and dollar printing presses, then there would be no market. You could just look at two things, right?
Right. Right. And you know, but you're really hitting the nail on the head, Key, because when we talk about the different levers and the different factors, this is all very interrelated, that, you know, those that were betting on gold appreciating in value because of what was obviously going to happen, and was not hard to project and expect, that if it was simply the printing of money and all of that in a vacuum, that might work. But in the real world, when you have other countries also doing their own quantitative easing, when you have countries who are deliberately devaluing their currency versus the dollar, when you have all of those things, it doesn't make it such an easy formula, does it?
No. And then get this, the even more complicating thing is the number one customers in the world are China and India. And China's economy is slowing down. You know, they're going from 10% white-hot growth to just 7% red-hot growth, and that's scaring everyone away. And so, and then at the same time, there's speculation that people who, when their stock market was going up in the past year before it crashed this summer, was that everyone was taking their money out of gold and putting into the stock market and then driving that up. And then at the same time, if the economy is slowing a bit, people have less discretionary spending to spend on jewelry. And the same goes for India. They say that they had a bad season of farming there, so consumers are scared and cutting back on expenses like, you know, luxuries like gold.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, if you're just joining us, Key Trang Ho is our guest today, financial media consultant, founder of Key Financial Media, website by the same name, keyfinancialmedia.com. We'll grab a quick break, come right back with Key, and talk a little bit more about gold. And really, the other big thing going on is uncertainty, and that becoming really the new norm. And we'll get Key's insightful thoughts there. Hold right there. We'll be right back after this quick break.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Ki Trang Ho on the line with me, financial media consultant, founder of Ki Financial Media, a veteran of the writing and reporting and radio, and we're really glad to have her on the program again with us. KeyFinancialMedia.com is a website. And, you know, the new norm, and I know it's a cliche, but it's a, we have to say it anyway, Key, is that uncertainty is the new norm when it comes to some of the different things that have been going on in the markets. And, of course, the world's always been uncertain. I think you can make that argument. But I think people have become more maybe complacent or just used to the fact that there are these uncertainties that are well beyond their control. And does that then make them less likely to run to gold as a perceived safe place?
I definitely think so. I think you could argue that, you know, we live in a world of uncertainty and the only certainty is uncertainty. It seems like the Greeks have been having their problems since 2008, but even before that, I read somewhere that Greece has been in some type of economic turmoil for the past 50 years, if not longer. They've always had some type of crisis, and there's always some type of social unrest somewhere around the world, whether it's in Europe and now it's Thailand, or it's happened in Thailand several times now. There's, you know, economic turmoil in Asia that comes up, and
you can't leave out the Middle East, right?
Strikes at their mines all the time, and there's a social unrest in South America for some reason or another, or strikes at mines. So if you are going to save money in gold as a safe haven, you're still going to have to convert it to dollars when you go to McDonald's because the cash register can't hold gold coins.
That's very true. I mean, and if you try to plunk down a gold coin, that would be a lot of Big Macs.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm hungry sometimes, Key, but not that hungry. Although there's been days I would have given a gold coin for a double fish sandwich, I will confess. All right. So let me ask you this. You know, with all this going on, you mentioned some of the supply side of this where does it seem like even though there is some uncertainty in the mining and things of that nature, is there still plenty of supply? I mean, like they say, there's only so much gold. Is there still plenty of supply out there to continue to meet demand?
I definitely think so. I read somewhere it was a U.S. Global Investors report, and U.S. Global Investors is the provider of U.S. funds, and they had a report yesterday that I was reading that said mining for one of the producers, I forget the name exactly, but it was up 9% year over year.
So what does that tell us? You're saying their production was up 9% year over year?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Production output was up about 9% year over
year. Okay, that could have a significant impact right there by itself. Well, now let me ask you this. With some of all of what we've talked about, are there expectations and are there you know, people that are credible that really believe and have an opinion that gold could fall even further or maybe even have a significant drop?
Definitely. Harry Dent, he's a very notable economist. And he is with Dent Research. He founded his own firm. And he believes that gold can go down to $700 an ounce.
Mm. Wow. So that'd be some 30-35% off of the current pricing at the time we're doing this. That would be a big drop.
Yes.
Yeah. And that also would create a historic buying opportunity, according to the folks that are selling gold. You know, there's just one more crisis right around the corner, Key, that will drive, gold prices through the roof, according to some of these. I get emails, as you might expect, doing financial work, and, you know, there are folks on the other side of the the continuum or on the other side of the gold coin, if you were, that could say that they predict in the fall of 2015, gold prices going above $1,500 an ounce. So here we have, you know, one would be expert saying 1500, and then you have another expert saying 700. And of course your current price is right in the middle, roughly. So what, how do we as individuals pull that together and make sense of it?
I think the best thing to do is just to watch and not follow predictions. Perhaps, I know that's kind of contradictory to what we're sharing with all these people's, quote, outlook, but the fact of the matter is that it's really nobody knows. And for every person I find that will tell you that it's going to go to $2,000 an ounce, $1,500 an ounce, or whatever, I could find as many who think it should be $700, $400 an ounce, and that it's only good for decorating and for jewelry.
Well, maybe that's what keeps it in the middle. I mean, the pressure's on each end. And you know, the other part of this is that with the fall, you know, the other reason why gold is looked at as a hedge is, of course, for inflation. And you spoke and referred to that earlier, Key. And I'd like to kind of pick up on that. And, you know, why aren't we? You know, let's just kind of break it down. Why aren't we seeing more inflation with the quantitative easing that we've, you know, our Federal Reserve has done, some $4 trillion on their balance sheet, and the printing of money? Why haven't we seen more inflation?
Well, that's the remarkable thing about economics, is that we don't live in a vacuum. The U.S. doesn't live in its own little bubble. It's in a world full of 100 other central banks that all have very, very different economies that they're dealing with, all undergoing their own problems, and all undergoing their own demographics. For instance, Japan has very weak economic growth, and they're trying to stimulate it because the population there is growing, is aging very rapidly. And so when you have an aging population, you have more retirees and fewer workers supporting the benefits that those retirees receive in the way of, you know, their version of pensions and Social Security. And then you also have less work productivity from all that economy because there's fewer people producing goods. Mm. And at the same time, the older your population gets, the less consumption you have because those people have already raised their families and have already, you know, bought everything that they're going to need for most the rest of their lives practically, except for just food and clothing. They don't need to buy more furniture. They have that. They don't need to buy a house. They have that.
Yeah. Well, I think your point's right on, and that, you know, you get into some specifics about just one economy you're talking about with Japan. And as you said earlier, Key, I think that the real key here is that you have 100 other central banks. And I think very often, you know, we have a bit of a home country bias here in the United States, as every country does, but ours is particularly pronounced because of our having the largest economy. We very often forget there's, you know, those other 99 or so central banks that are trying to do their own thing, and that what brings in all of that complexity that, you know, weighs on our not only inflation, but gold and all of that. If you're just joining us, Key Trang Ho is our guest, financial media consultant, founder of Key Financial Media. KeyFinancialMedia.com is the website. We'll grab another short, quick break. Be right back with Key to discuss further. Stay right there.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. Kee Trang Ho is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, financial media consultant, founder of Kee Financial Media. And you can check out the website for more information about Kee and her work, keyfinancialmedia.com, and also over at Forbes and her great contributions there, forbes.com/sites, and another /Trang Ho. So let's talk about it a little bit more this way. Kee, coming back to our conversation about gold, and let's look at it from, we've gotten some of the nuts and bolts nailed down, some of the drivers, if you will. Let's talk about it from an investment outlook standpoint. What would you say if I told you that I had decided that it made sense for my clients for us to incorporate a larger precious metals exposure in our portfolio, which we don't currently have a large position in that. In fact, we, you know, really don't do a lot with precious metals. But let's say that we decided to add 5 to 10% to the portfolio just for maybe additional diversification, and maybe we think it might be some upside. What would be some of the things that would drive the investment outlook for gold? Would it include things like whether it pays a dividend or not?
Yes. Okay. That's the thing with gold, is that a lot of people say it's not a good investment because, one, it doesn't pay a dividend, it doesn't have a yield, and two, there's nothing that any, perhaps an activist shareholder or even the company itself, can do to drive shareholder value, such as buy back shares or, you know, do something to reduce profits or drive sales.
Right.
The
it's not like a stock.
The only thing you have going for it, it is supply and demand, and you have no control over those things.
So it's not like a stock where there could be a merger. You know, it's not like silver is going to buy gold out and gold is going to jump in value because silver bought it.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be funny? And then you also, you talk about some of the application. You know, other precious metals, for example, platinum, silver, and to a little bit less precious, but still in the metal category, like copper, you know, they're not just used for jewelry. They're also used for industrial uses, correct?
Exactly. All of our catalytic converters in our cars is made of, is it platinum?
I think there is platinum, and I know that whatever it is, it's got to be precious because they're expensive.
Yes, and silver has some industrial uses. Copper is used in everything, in electronics, home pipes, copper pipes, you name it.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, we always hear about people having copper stolen out of construction and all of that. So, you know, that's obviously got an indication of value. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting is that, you know, this is a little bit of outside of the investment outlook part, but also interesting to comment. Gold, the other thing that's interesting about gold to me, Kee, is that it's still used, you know, for of course, you know, we were on the gold standard in the United States for a long time. Then we went to the fiat currency where the gold was not, you know, a backup for those actual paper dollars. But in other countries, and I'd be curious if we could, you know, you have some perspective here, gold is still used as a form of currency, even though it may not be the first currency, but it's still used in other countries, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. For instance, in my homeland, Vietnam, gold is a second currency. People save their money in gold bars, and when they go to the gold shop, they sell their gold to get cash, and then when they want to save their money, they go buy gold. And at the same time, they also buy and trade, they also trade, or I should say, buy houses in gold bars. And so a house will be valued in 10 gold bars, or that one is 12 gold bars. And if you want to pay a significant sum of money for some other thing of value, it would be priced in gold bars. And that's because inflation in Vietnam is out of control. When I went there in 1997, about $1 was worth about 12,000 down. And imagine doing math and accounting in a country where $1 is worth 12,000 of something else. And
wow.
Now it's worth about, and now it's like double that. It's north of 20,000 down for $1. And $1 million down is worth $50.
Wow. So would it be a good time to travel to that part of the world and do some traveling and visiting and get a good exchange rate for our currency?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's good to travel anywhere outside of the U.S. now because the dollar is so strong. I was just in Canada a few months ago, and everything just seemed so much cheaper to me than when I was last there when the dollar was strong. So it's an excellent time to go to Europe, to Japan,
yeah.
especially commodity currencies, but countries such as Brazil,
yeah.
Australia, and Canada.
Excellent, Ki. Well, I tell you what, we'll have to have you back to talk about some traveling and how we can stretch our dollars. Ki Trang Ho, ladies and gentlemen, been our guest today, financial media consultant, founder of Ki Financial Media and the website KiFinancialMedia.com. Thanks so much for being with us, Ki, and enjoy your perspective on gold and how people should be thinking about it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.